do magic now. You're the one with that kind of power. In fact, De Hoffman offered you my old job. You're closer to being a vengeance demon than I am. Maybe Xander should be afraid of you.
Xander's my best friend.
Oh, and you don't want anyone else to have him. I know what broke up him and Cordelia, you know. It was you. And your lips.
No, it was not. Well, yes, it was so, but that was a long time ago. Do you think I'd do that again?
Why not?
Well, hello, gay now.
Everybody, welcome to Boys Watching Buffy. We're just two boys watching every episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer for the first time, giving our review, our reactions. We're your hosts. I am Joe. Well,
I am Vance.
And today we're talking Season 5, Episode 11, titled Triangle, directed by Christopher Hibbler, written by Jane Espenson. Original air date, January 9th, 2001, to an audience of 4.85 million people. No announcements really at the top, except for boys watching movies. We're going to be doing Bring It On, and no shout outs, no nothing.
Yeah, I was surprised on Discord no one chimed in on our whether or not you said Major Ellis. Or
oh yeah,
Ellis.
No, I was definitely wrong.
Okay,
yeah, I went back and listened. I was definitely wrong.
All right, yeah. I was like, I know my notes said major, and I don't think.
Yeah. I went back to listen. I was like, let me see if am I going crazy. Turns out I am.
We nitpick ourselves sometimes too.
Yeah. Yeah, there we go.
It's major, not colonel.
Yeah, join our Discord. It's been live. A lot of people chatting about season one, season two, season three, season four.
The retrospective.
Yeah, it's like no one even cares about season five. It's
we're halfway through it, and people are like, all right, this is fine. Yeah. I'm worried about six and seven.
No, I mean, people are talking season five and all that stuff. Join the Patreon too, patreon.com/boyswatchingbuffy. Where we do Boys Watching Angel, Boys Watching Movies, and you get access to Joe's Fashion Report. And yeah, that's about it. Shall we freaking get into this here?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So this episode starts with a recap of Riley going off. He's leaving on a helicopter because he has been recruited back into the military. He's going to Belize. He left Buffy, but Buffy was trying to get him to stay, but she wasn't able to. She was just in the nick of not time. We get a Joyce brain tumor recap. We also get a recap about Dawn being the key and her not being real. So the episode actually opens up with Xander in bed with Anya. And Xander is feeling like he forgot to do something, and he feels like he's supposed to give Riley a wrench or something, but he keeps forgetting that Riley is gone. And Anya is like, oh, well, if you ever plan on leaving, I better get a warning. I want a big flashing sign, and I want a countdown clock like in a movie bomb situation, and then I want you not to leave anyway. And it's very sweet.
How long do you think Riley's been gone?
I think that Xander said it's been 3 weeks.
It's been 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
I'm pretty sure. But then again, I also thought they said General Ellis.
Or Major Ellis. It feels like some time has passed.
It's been roughly 3 weeks since the last episode aired.
Oh, yeah. And this show is definitely real time. Like 24. Yeah, I thought we were going to get a flash of Riley like in like some fake jungle shooting some demons or something.
That's what I thought too. Well, I thought that it was like he was already going to be coming back just because of the way they keep talking about him. And like, yeah. I can't believe he's gone. And like, oh, he's off in the jungle somewhere. Oh, he's off doing this stuff.
Well, we have to remember that this aired at a time where you had to like fill in the audience if you miss, if they missed last episode. You're like, wait, what?
Well, it's also almost been a month since the last episode too. Hey, here's where we're at.
Yeah.
Let Xander and Anya do an exposition dump in bed together. But then it gets...
Anya here definitely victim blames Buffy.
Yeah, I was going to say, Anya gets to the point where this conversation goes where she's kind of like, well, maybe, you know, Buffy's always having these relationship woes, you know. Maybe it's Buffy's fault, you know. She can sure pick them, huh? And Xander's like, what are you talking about? And Anya's like, well, I mean, I've been around for 1,100 years. Humans seem to make the same mistakes over and over and over again. Like when I was a vengeance demon, I had some girls calling me up over and over and over again. And they were making the same mistakes and dating the same type of guys. And I would have to come in and zap people into being trolls and slugs and all kinds of crazy shit all the time for these same girls. So I don't know, maybe it's Buffy's fault that she has a bad taste in men, which, you know, there is some validity to that, but also Buffy's had two boyfriends. I feel like you need to have a bit more of a sample size before you establish that pattern.
She also dated Scott Hope, who just left her, and then she had Parker, who played her.
I wouldn't even say that they were dating.
I'm just saying all of her interactions with men.
That who do you think has been her most healthy / positive? I feel like it'd probably be Scott Hope.
Yeah, but then he just kind of bailed on her. I mean, it was fine.
I said most healthy.
Yeah, true. True. I mean, I can't say that Angel's been healthy.
Yeah.
Can't say Spike's been healthy, even though they're not in a relationship. And we'll get into that. But I think Riley up to a point.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like it's between Riley and Scott Hope. Because remember Owen, too?
Yeah.
That dude that was just like in the dead, crazy, thrill-seeking stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, yeah. Yeah. So Xander's like, I wonder how Buffy's dealing with all this, with losing Riley. And then we cut to a convent where there are nuns. And it's the back of a nun, and you can see flowing blonde hair coming from the front of her habit.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh my God, did Buffy become a nun?
This is very 2000s-y.
Yeah.
Did you ever see that movie with like Jack Black and Steve Zahn, like Saving Silverman? You ever
I
see
actually
that movie?
Have not.
It's kind of like that. At one point, I think she's about to become a nun. Like... That's a silly, fun, like, dumb movie.
Isn't Jason Biggs in that, too?
Yeah, he's the, like, main guy. Yeah.
Wait, isn't Seth Green in that, too?
I don't think Seth Green's in it.
Oh,
it's,
no,
like, Steve
another...
Zahn and, like, Jack Black, and they're trying to break him up.
Yeah. I've heard nothing but good things about that movie. I just have never seen it.
I haven't seen it in a while, but it's fun. Like, you know, it's in that road trip world, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we see this nun from behind and we're like, oh my God, did Buffy become a nun? No, because then a vampire comes into the scene and we see Buffy jump into the scene too. And she's just beating this vampire up. She stakes it in front of at least one nun, at least one, maybe two or three.
Mm-hmm.
So she stakes this vampire. It turns to dust. The nun goes, what? She goes to Buffy, what was that? He looked like a demon. And Buffy goes, yeah, he did, didn't he? Anyway, like, what's up with being a nun? How do you like being a nun? How is it? The lack of men. I love that they just have given up on this.
My thought when she said it looked like a demon, I was like, but are you not going to ask a follow-up of why it turned into dust and no longer is around?
Yeah. This nun witnessed this.
She's like, well, I don't know. God didn't have it in the Bible. There's no vampires in the Bible. I don't believe it.
I love that Buffy just brushed her off. Just like, yeah, it did, didn't it? Yeah. Anyway. yeah. That's such a great leaning into this. Like,
yeah,
the show knows at this
point. Between this and Angel, like, people know. People
between know. This and then and later on yeah. in this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, later on is like, turn it yeah. off if you don't want us diving into the the logistics of how Sunnydale's civilian population views the world.
But Buffy starts asking the nun, like, how's it being a nun? You like the lack of men? Is that cool? Is it not that hard? Is it decent? And the nun's like, well, you know, it's fine.
Yeah, the nun looked like she was like, I kind of regret it. Yeah, yeah. It was weird.
So then we get the intro credits. Did you watch the intro credits?
They were on.
I was looking to see if Mark Blucas was in it, and he is not in the intro credits anymore. So this could be it for, I don't see Riley being in this anymore, unless he like does a cameo later on.
Curtain call for Riley.
Yeah. I don't know. People in Discord were like, Riley's finally gone. Ding dong, the witch is dead and stuff. And I was like, oh, so he's really not coming back.
Yeah, right? I was wondering, because we're very not spoilery on our section of what we see on Discord. And Elias has been doing a great job because we got a bunch of new people. And it's a lot to catch up on. And just a lot of stuff. And he's like, hey, if you're joining new, feel free to jump in. Don't worry about like trying to catch up. If you have something to say, just say it and come out, you know. But yeah, people mentioned him not coming back, and no one started flagging those as, hey, these are spoilers. So I don't know.
Yeah. Also, shout out to our page, our Discord moderator Elias. He's the real MVP, everybody.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looks like good old Marky Mark is gone. He's in Belize.
Yeah.
Shooting some demons.
It'll be amazing if Buffy gets like two like military people with like the folded flag.
Oh no. Oh no. Like she's in bed with Spike or something. They knock on her door.
Yeah. God, that's a horrible day for everybody.
Yeah. So anyway, after the intro, we get Buffy training with Giles with mitts. And how do you feel about her form here, Vance? Your boxing form corner.
I wasn't paying that much attention because I was trying to listen to what Giles was talking about. I think he mentioned that they were going to the nun, the monastery to find out more information on Glory, right? Because they have a library there. Or was he just talking about going to London?
He was talking about how he wants the Watchers Council to help.
Okay.
And Buffy's kind of like, I don't even know if they would help us at this point.
That's such a strange, like, now they need to help us.
Yeah. Like, so, yeah, Giles is talking to Buffy about, while they're training and boxing, he's like, I don't know, maybe we might need to get in touch with the Watchers Council. I mean, they have a robust library of books that could actually maybe aid us. And Buffy's like, stop talking about books, you fucking nerd.
Join a Discord book club. It's funny that they can find everything in the books that they had. But all of a sudden, they're like, well, we got to go to the bigger library.
Yeah.
About her punching, I did think that Giles was giving accurate stuff about not leading with the right. You could tell when
she's
that punch was coming.
She's dropping her shoulder, yeah.
And she seemed to just keep doing it. And then hit him.
Like, yeah, she was getting frustrated at his critiques. Like, I can tell when your punch is coming, Buffy. You're dropping your shoulder. And he's like, you did it again.
Yeah.
You did it again. And then she just like low blows, like actually punches him.
Yeah. And I was like, isn't that what training is? What?
Yeah. No, no.
I could see a punch go if he mentioned Riley later, you know, like during that. But yeah.
But, so yeah, after they're done punching each other, Buffy's like, you know what? It might be a good idea to go to the Watchers Council, but will you not mention that Dawn is the key to them? Because I don't want them coming over and like kidnapping her or like selling her out or something. And he's like, yeah, of course, I wouldn't do that. Because Buffy's like, yeah, because I don't trust these guys' far as, well, as far as you can throw them Giles. And Giles is like, right, yeah, I forgot that I'm a weak, pathetic old man and you are the Slayer.
And I'm a former Watcher. Yeah. Why not just give the Dawn to the Watchers?
Yeah.
It's overseas, you know, it's away from where Glory is.
Yeah, but I don't think that the Watchers would be able to protect her if Glory went there.
I worry that Buffy can't protect her because at school, like if Glory comes to school right now, it's a wrap.
Yeah, that's true. But Buffy's like, I don't know if we can trust the Watchers. And Giles is like, well, I would consider going to the Initiative, but they aren't a thing anymore. And Riley's gone and he was our only link to the government and the military. So
why would the government have information on Glory? They don't even believe that these are demons. They're like, they're hostiles.
Yeah. Not specimens. Sorry, everybody. Hostiles.
Hostile 17, not specimen 17?
Sorry. Goddamn.
People got real.
I mean, like, fucking, it got mentioned like 4 or 5 times in Discord. I was like, geez, it's been bugging people. Sorry.
So if you're a listener and it's been bugging you and you haven't voiced your opinion, like, this is the acknowledgement.
It's funny that last episode was the last straw for, like, everybody. Everybody was just like, God damn it.
And I never remembered what it was. So I was just like, oh, good. You got the number right.
Yeah, I thought that it was right. At least I got the number. Yeah. At least I got the number.
Right.
But, yeah, so Riley's gone, so they don't have any link to the military or the government. And Buffy's like, could you not mention Riley? And Giles is like, oops, sorry for mentioning Riley. She's like, no, it's fine. I'll be okay. But, you know, it hurts right now, but I'll be okay. But, you know, it hurts right now. But So then we have a scene of Giles talking about how he's going away for a week or whatever, because he's going to London to meet up with or England to meet up with the Watchers Council. And Anya is super jazzed about it because that means that she gets to run the store. And Giles is like, oh, I don't know if that's such a fuck. I didn't think about this. Yeah. And they're all like, the Scooby gang is all there. And they're kind of like, oh, we'll all take part in running the store. Don't worry about it, Giles. And Giles is like, I might shorten my stay, actually.
Why not just close the store?
Yeah. Just give Anya a week off.
Yeah.
But
I love seeing Giles take like a couple bills out of the cash register.
But Anya's like, no, I can totally do it, Giles. Don't worry about it. And Giles is like, Anya, I don't know if, you know, there's the trash people. You got to talk to these people. You got to talk to these people. And Anya's like, I can totally do that. And Giles is like, you're not good with people, Anya.
I kind of want to see the trash people in Sunnydale.
Yeah.
How many dead bodies are they finding in alleys?
Just in compactors, just smashing them. But I think that people were kind of like, yeah, Xander, you know, she's like bad with people, right? You can vouch for that. And Xander's like, let's change the subject.
Yeah.
And then he talks to Buffy and he's like, Buffy, what was up with the patrol last night? Did you do anything? And Buffy's like, I went to a convent and I killed a vampire in front of a nun. And then I started talking about being a nun. Xander's like, wow, this has gotten so much worse.
Yeah, because he's sitting between Willow and Anya and Willow's claiming to help. And he's just caught between the two of them. Triangle.
Yeah. They're kind of bickering about like, I can totally do it. And Willow's like, we'll help.
Yeah.
And Anya's like, I don't need your help.
I got to say, I like Willow's haircut. Like Willow's new haircut.
Yeah. Fashion report. Yeah, she looks good in this scene. Real good.
Yeah.
Got a sick choker. Yeah. I'll elaborate more, but that was a good look.
Yeah.
Little corner moment there.
The fashion corner / fashion report.
Well, the corner is on the podcast. The report is its own separate thing. All right.
It's like my Instagram and Twitter handles. just make it more confusing for people.
Yeah. So Buffy comes home and she goes into Joyce's room and Joyce is finally dressed like a normal person. She's not wearing a bathrobe anymore. And Buffy's like, whoa, this is a big step, Mom. And she's like, yeah, you know, I looked at that bathrobe and I decided today, like, I just couldn't do it anymore. I didn't want to be a lazy, not dressed slob person. So I'm dressed. I'm going out. I'm not going out, but like I'm dressed up like a normal human being.
And I'm dressed up to say lines in this scene, and that is all.
Yep. She's got a nice little bandana on to hide her where she had to shave her head to get surgery. Mm-hmm. And Buffy and Dawn are like, we're proud of you, Mom. And then they go into Buffy's room. Buffy and Dawn go into Buffy's room. Joyce is just kind of left in her bedroom and just like sits down and crosses her arms.
Yeah, just stares at the wall until it's the next time for the talk.
So they go into Buffy's room and Dawn's like, can I hang out in here? And Buffy's like, yeah, you can, but don't touch anything.
It was such an awkward, Buffy goes into a room, Dawn staring at her from like the doorway, and then Buffy just hops up on the bed and just starts looking at a magazine.
Yeah.
And it was like,
are you just going to ignore Dawn? So forced.
Yeah.
But then Dawn comes into the room and she notices that Buffy took down all of Riley's pictures. And Buffy's like, yeah, I didn't want to see him. I don't want to look at that like heartbreak situation. And Dawn's like, yeah, this had to have been kind of sudden. And Buffy's like, nah, I mean, I kind of saw it coming. And Dawn's like,
no,
really?
She's
did
like,
you?
She says everyone else saw it coming before.
Well,
I did.
Yeah. Well, she says that I saw it coming. At least everybody else saw it coming before I did. And then, but then Buffy's hurt. She's sad how it turned out. And my note here is that she's not delivering these lines like she is. She's very much like measured. Like, yeah, it didn't work out. And I'm sad, but you know. Whatever.
Yeah, I think they were trying to play a little of. Yeah, that must be weird to have someone like gone or something. I think they're trying to play with the Dawn being like not a real person, but a real person.
Yeah.
Like we have two not real people. Like with Anya, is a human, I guess, now.
Yeah.
And was before. Yeah. But it always feels like she's not.
But then Buffy kind of talks about how, like, you know, maybe Riley will come back and he'll want to give it another try and we'll get back together and I'll get to, like, right my wrongs and learn from my mistakes, but who knows? And Dawn's kind of looking at her like, you're being a little... I feel like the read of Dawn here is, like, you're being a little bit not truthful with how hurt you actually are. Mm. Because like I said, like she's delivering these lines like, nah, he left me. Well, no big deal.
Yeah.
So then we go to Spike in his in his nice little crypt. And he has his Buffy mannequin.
And he's got his erect nippled Buffy mannequin. Fully Jennifer Aniston it.
Yeah. And he's got a box of chocolates and he's talking to her. He's practicing the speech that he would give to Buffy if he saw her again. And he's like, hey, look, I'm sorry about how everything turned out with you and Riley. But, you know, I was just trying to help when I took you to the vampire crack den. And I wanted you to see like not everything was going good. And I felt like you should know. And I had good intentions by showing you Riley getting the suck job. And, you know. Oh, you know what? You're not going to say you thank you? You know what? Fuck you. You're being petty and you're being ungrateful and you're such an ungrateful bitch. And he smashes the chocolates on the mannequin's head. And then he re-puts the mannequin back together, puts the wig back on, picks up the chocolates and restarts his speech. He's like, all right, that didn't go so well.
This is the person that people want Buffy to be in a relationship with. Like, I know, I'm so intrigued of how they're going to turn that around. Cause this is his personality. Like,
yeah,
he has issues.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
We have a Xander debate channel.
I will say this. I think Xander's pretty great in this episode.
Yeah.
Like, I think he does everything right.
We start have to finish. A Xander debate channel, meanwhile, about how toxic he is. Meanwhile,
I will say early Xander, you could make some arguments.
Yeah,
I don't know what happens later in the series.
True.
But in this, like, middle window, there's right the maturity. Now, yeah.
The last two episodes, it's like, oh, he's coming on. He's mm-hmm. doing some mature stuff.
Yeah.
But the new potential love interest for Buffy is a dude that's smashing boxes of chocolate on a mannequin of Buffy's head because he's imagining her arguing with him and how it's going to go down.
And who has continually called her a bitch.
Yeah. Out for a walk, bitch.
And then he does something later in this episode where I was like, oh boy. But yeah, we'll get to that.
Panty stealing, sweater sniffing,
shotgun toting,
picture stealing, breaking into her house unknown several times,
stalker watching,
watching her from outside her house. Yeah.
And we like Spike.
We like Spike. We like Spike.
Just don't think he should be dating anybody but Drusilla.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
So after this scene with Spike, we get Anya, Willow, and Tara at the store. And Willow brings up something that Vance and I have harped on ever since, like, season two, whenever it happened. I think it's season two or three.
I think. Yeah, two.
Willow is looking at all the potions and stuff that Giles has there, and she's like, I gotta try this and this potion and this potion, because last night I tried to use something to change Amy back from being a rat, and it didn't work. But I think that it made her smarter, because now it looks like she's scheming against me, and she's always got her paws up. And I was like, yo, they mentioned it?
They're still aware that she's a rat. Like,
it's been years.
I mean, last season they had her turn back.
Yeah. For like
a half a second. So they know. It's like still there. Like, that's what I like about the show. They are fully aware of their stuff. Like, they don't forget. Yeah. It's not like going to be a Game of Thrones thing where, like, oh, wait, she forgot that they were there. Like,
yeah.
This is.
No, they know their own history.
Yes.
And, it's nice.
And they sprinkle it in. They sprinkle it in a little later, too, at one point. But yeah, when they brought up Amy Durant, I'm like, that's awesome. Also, it's no way you guys can't turn her back.
I know.
Why is this the hardest thing?
I know. It's unreal. They literally, like, make. They just do.
Buffy was a rat.
Yes, dude. Yes. Yes. They
some random bar owner was able to turn everyone into cave people. Yeah.
But there is old Amy still munching on her rat flakes. Stuck. Watching Willow and Tara go to town on each other with their quote unquote spells.
Yeah, now she's more self-aware as a rat.
So Willow and Tara they're taking the potions and they're like, we're gonna do some spells. And Anya's like, dude, you can't just take this inventory. Like, you can't do that. And Willow's like, oh, Anya, you're like the fish in the Cat in the Hat who's always just like, oh, you can't do that. You can't do that. And Anya's like, no, dude, you're stealing. Yeah. And Willow's like, oh, fuck you, dude. Like, you know, Giles would be okay with this. And, you know, I know that you're like, you don't have powers anymore. Like, I could show you how to do some witch stuff. And Anya's like, no, dude, like, I'm in charge of the store right now and you're stealing. And I was like, very much Team Anya on this argument.
Yeah, and Anya's like, I know what this is. This is peer pressure. And it was like, oh, you were a human before.
Yeah.
You could tell witchcraft peer pressure, where she's like, I'll teach you how to float some stuff if we keep stealing or to keep you. I'm like, why are you doing these spells like in the middle of the store? One.
Right.
And Willow is like really being a jerk here.
Yes, she absolutely is.
And yeah, the fish in the Cat in the Hat, I'm not really that familiar with it, but the Cat in the Hat's not great.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm on the side of the fish.
Yeah. Like when Willow's like, oh, shut up, Anya. Like, yeah. We'll just do it. Giles would be fine with it. And Anya's like, no, dude, like, this isn't cool.
Yeah. She starts mocking her, too, at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then Xander shows up. And they're like, Xander, whose side are you on here? We got Willow. She's trying to do some spells. She's stealing from the store. And Willow's like, oh, Xander, Anya's just being like a stick in the mud. Like. She just let us do our spells. Like it's to help Buffy. And Xander's like, I don't know. And then Willow's like, here, look, I'll show you. I'll do something right now. And she like pinches some magic salt together and throws it and makes the cash register disappear. And then Anya's like, see, dude, like, what the fuck are you doing? That's an integral part of the store.
This is why there shouldn't be a magic shop selling magic products that can make that people that don't know how to use them can do this. It's a danger to society.
And Willow supposedly knows how to do this stuff, and she's fucking up. But then Willow's like, no, look, I can make it reappear. Reverso the spello. And then the cash register comes back. And I was like, is the money still in there? What about the money?
Why don't you try reversal the spello on Amy the Rat?
So they start bickering again, Willow and Anya. And then Xander is like, you know what? I'm going to let you two work this out. I'm not getting into the middle of this. Have fun. And he leaves. And then Willow turns to Tara and she's like, what do you think about this? Like, we're like not fucking up, right? And Tara's like, you know what? I'm going to leave too because this feels awkward.
At this point, did you think that Tara and Xander would be talking about the two of them?
I did. I thought they'd go to the espresso pump like, yeah. What the fuck is up with this, dude?
Yeah. Instead, we get something completely different.
Yeah. So then after those two leave, Willow's doing a spell. She's like gathering all of these things to do this spell that can summon. And this sounds like a horrendous idea. It sounds like the spell that she's trying to create is it would create like a miniature sun that could show like UV rays for Buffy as a weapon. So that if she's around vampire, she can like make the sun appear or whatever.
And no, it harkens back to that. Oh, what dummy uses a flashlight? She just wants to make a orb that like shines light that Buffy can use when she's going through caves and stuff and not have to use a flashlight.
No, because
I think that's what Willow, she was talking about, right?
Willow does talk about how like she can summon it. And if she's around vampires, it would kill the vampires because it's light.
Oh, I didn't hear that part. Okay. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. I just know it was like something about caves and light. And I thought they were harkening back on that flashlight thing. But it doesn't matter.
Yeah. So Willow starts doing the spell. And Anya is like, she's writing down everything that Willow's using. He's like, that's going to cost you this much.
Yeah.
That's going to cost you this much.
And they're doing this on the countertop.
Yeah.
Right next to the register.
And I love that at one point she's like, all right, you're using lizard eyes. That's 10 for 12. That's a pretty good deal. Pretty good bargain. And Willow's like, dude, why are you being so annoying? Like, stop doing this. And Anya's like, look, I'm just taking inventory. You're going to pay for all the stuff that you're using. And Willow's like, okay, fine, whatever. I'll pay for it. But I'm going to start the spell. And once I start the spell, do not interrupt me because it is a very delicate spell. And if I fuck it up, who knows what could happen?
And I was like, here we go.
Why are you doing this here?
This is like that time when Buffy needed to like get into a trance to see like what weird thing was happening. And she just said, hey, I'm just going to go to my room, lock myself in and meditate. Like this is a do this at a private location.
Yeah. So Willow like takes a deep breath and Anya's like, do you start smelling it? And Willow's like, no, I fucking didn't even start yet. Just shut up. So then Willow starts doing the spell and she's saying all of her magic words. And she takes a breath in the middle of one of them. And Anya's like, is it done? Is it done? Did you just finish the spell? And Willow's like, no, stop.
Now then, Anya's being the jerk.
Yes. And Anya's like, I don't know. I was just saying, like, it seemed like you were done. And Willow's like, do you ever like let anyone? They start bickering and the spell starts to go haywire. It's just like Spider-Man. No Way Home or whatever, the last Spider-Man where Doctor Strange is doing a spell.
It is.
And Peter Parker is interrupting him constantly. And then the spell goes haywire.
That is such a specific like plot point in that movie where you're just like, this sets the whole movie in motion, but man, none of this should happen.
Yeah. So the spell eventually goes haywire. It shoots out a crazy demon troll guy and he's got a gigantic ass hammer and he starts smashing the store up. Just, he's like, rawr, destruction. It just breaks like everything, every piece of carpentry Xander made. And Willow and Anya are looking at this like, oh shit. So then the troll escapes and he's just out in the town now.
It's daylight, by the way.
It's daytime. It's daytime. Yeah. Okay. Broad fucking daylight.
Yep.
So there's the troll on the loose.
And this store is on the main stretch that we've noticed from that time that snake demon thing slithered.
Right next to the movie theater, which is right next to the espresso pump where they have outdoor seating.
They're one street. They're one street. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's out. Then we go to a scene where Buffy is at college, actually, and she's getting her new semester schedule.
I really want to know what the word was about the other professor.
Maggie Walsh?
Or? What does the school say about Maggie Walsh's disappearance? Because they're in that same classroom.
Yeah, there's only one hallway of a set.
but then it's just like some other teacher teaching some other, I forget what he's teaching, but yeah.
Yeah, so she's got her new semester schedule and she's there with Tara and they talk about, you know, Riley and Buffy's kind of like, yeah, you know, I kind of miss him, but, you know, I'm working through it. It's going to be fine. But yeah, there was a potential that I was going to have to take Central America history and I couldn't do that because any mention of a jungle just like make me think back to Riley and I don't need that heartbreak every day. And Tara's like, yeah, that makes sense. And then she starts talking about how
she's like, we never talk much, do we?
This is like the first scene of them alone together.
Yeah. And can I just say, what's going on with Buffy's pigtails?
I kind of like the pigtails.
They're like half folded. One of them's like half folded in. So it like, but it doesn't look like the other one is. And it's just like this, I don't know. It's like if you did one ponytail and you tried to split it and then like you did it, you split it two thirds and one third. I don't know. It's just something off.
She's got pigtails, which is two of them. And it looks like she looped them. Like she's got them looped and
like
she
one
put
is
the
looped.
Ends back into the.
Yeah.
The,
but one
the
looks
hair.
Like it's falling out of the second loop.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know.
It is a little messy.
Yeah.
But overall, I think it's a pretty interesting look. I dug it.
I'm always intrigued by the things that you do like and don't like.
Well, I'll tell you right now, I fucking hated Tara's jacket in this scene.
I was too distracted by Buffy's pigtails.
Yeah. But Tara starts to spill the beans about, you know, yeah, man, I'm just glad that to be out of Willow's hair right now because, you know, she and Xander started kind of having an argument. And Buffy's like, had an argument? What happened? And Tara's like, oh, no, I mean, it's not that big of a deal. I mean, they're just like, you know, Anya and Willow started to kind of bicker. And now, like, Xander was a little annoyed by it. And Buffy's like, Xander can't be annoyed. I can't break up. And Tara's like, oh, I don't think they're going to break up. I just think it was like a little disagreement. Buffy starts going crazy. Like, she is triggered.
Yeah.
And she starts crying. And she's like, how dare I can't bring up Edmund. They're such a good couple. And she starts hugging Tara. And Tara's looking at her like, what the fuck?
At first, I thought it was going to be her feeling bad about questioning the relationship in the last episode. And being like, oh my God, they break up. That's on me. But it's been 3 weeks, so I don't think that's...
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just more about like... That some couple has to last. I have to believe in love.
Yeah.
I have to believe that love exists somewhere.
I think that it was... If Giles, Xander and Willow... Xander and Anya, right?
Xander and Anya. Yeah. If Giles and Olivia can't make it, and Riley and Buffy can't, Tara and Willow have to, and Anya and Xander have to.
Yep. They're so good for each other, even though I said last week, 3 weeks, or 3 weeks ago, last episode, that they're, you're just using her freaking... So yeah, we're seeing the cracks in Buffy's armor here.
Yep.
So then we cut to, and I love this scene, we cut to Willow and Anya driving Giles's car. Because they're trying to chase down the demon, and Anya's driving, and Willow's looking through a bunch of spell books to see like how to get the demon back into its crystal or whatever. And Anya's like, dude, we would have never been in this situation if it wasn't for you. This is all your fault. And Willow's like, it's not my fault. It's your fault for interrupting the spell. And whose side are you on in this?
I'm more on Anya's side,
yes.
But it's both of their faults.
I agree.
Yes.
I'm 70 Anya, 30 Willow.
Mm-hmm.
Because Willow shouldn't have been doing this shit in the first place. She's stealing from the store. Though eventually she did agree to pay for it.
Yes. But it's also a spell you don't do on the cash counter. You know?
Yeah, especially when you know how annoying Anya is.
Yeah.
Like, but then also Anya shouldn't have been such a fucking annoying little turd while Willow's doing the thing.
Anya
like,
knows how,
about witchcraft.
Yeah, she knows how magic works. She knows that you know when a spell is done or not.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Anya is like screeching down the street and Willow's like, dude, like, I mean, it won't matter if we... it won't matter if we die before we get to this demon because you're driving like a maniac. And Anya's like, oh yeah, I've never driven before. And Will's like, what? You don't know how to drive? And Anya's like, well, I think I can figure it out. Like the left pedal is braking. I just figured that out. And then she stomps on the brakes. She's like, see, that makes it stop. And then if I press this right pedal really hard, it goes faster.
She's doing a great job.
Yes.
Great job driving.
She's doing better than Buffy.
Yeah. I forgot Buffy's so bad at driving. Yeah.
So then Anya starts like really speeding and the pages of the spell book are just like flying out of the car. And Will's like, oh, I hope I didn't need that.
I love that they're driving down the street too, following the trail of like smashed cars and mailboxes and buildings. Like,
yeah.
During the day, mind you, again.
Yeah. But then they start arguing about Xander and about like, this is what this is really about is like, you're going to hurt Xander and who's going to hurt Xander more and all this shit, which is an interesting thing where it's like, what's your problem? Why are you like so protective of Xander? And Anya's like, well, you know, you guys. Yeah. So speaking of Xander, we get Xander at the Bronze, and he's got a bowl full of peanuts.
Yes, shelled peanuts, like you're at a baseball game.
Yeah. I mean, Five Guys used to do that. I don't know if they still do it anymore, but they used to get like unlimited free shelled peanuts.
Yeah, they also give you almost unlimited fries tossed into that bag. Yeah, they're like, we use peanut oil, and we're going to have real peanuts here to prove it to you.
If you got an allergy,
yeah, it's like
don't step foot into Five Guys.
Yeah.
You are dead on arrival.
Yeah, you just It's like the floor is like those bars covered in peanut shells. And
yeah.
Yeah.
So he's at the Bronze and he runs into Spike. Spike's there and Xander's like, oh, what the hell are you doing here, dude? Spike's like, what? Can't fucking come here and have a drink? And Xander's like, all right, whatever. I don't got to worry about you. And he goes to sit down and Spike comes over and he's like, yeah, this place has some pretty fucking awesome chicken wings. They got these like this chopped onion that's like in the shape of a flower. It's pretty fucking sick.
I love that he's referencing wings and Bloomin' Onions.
Yeah. Dude, Bloomin' Onions are dope, but I can only eat like 10 of those before my heart starts to feel like it's stopping.
They're like 2,000 calories somehow.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how do you squeeze that much calories into an onion?
It's crazy, man. Yeah. But it's delicious for a little bit. And then you feel your blood start to slow down.
It's an appetizer. Need like 20 people to finish it. Crazy that this place has that level of food.
Yeah, I was like, I feel like that's kind of a Outback Steakhouse signature. Like, I didn't know that other places had Bloomin' Onions.
But it might have just come out like then, thinking about the time period. Like, when did you have a Bloomin' Onion? It's probably early 2000s.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know, man, but they're pretty dope. You get that little chipotle mayo sauce that comes with. Oh yeah, dude, that's a good fucking.
So we just
time.
Got a couple of old roommates sitting at the Bronze talking about wings and onions.
Yeah, and Xander's getting annoyed. Xander's like, "Dude, what are you still talking to me for? I don't like you." Then Spike tries to take some of his peanuts, and Xander like slaps his hands, like, "What the fuck, dude? Get away from me!"
Yeah,
and so Spike is kind of like, what, something wrong with the Slayer? Like, what's her mind state like? You know, is she doing all right after the whole Riley thing? And Xander's just like cracking his peanuts and he looks at him. He's like, what are you talking about? Why are you asking me about this? And Spike's like, you're right. Just trying to figure how stuff is, you know.
Spike is fishing for information on Buffy.
He is. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
I like Spike and Xander's dynamic here, too. Mm-hmm. Like, Xander is just, like, not even... He's like, what the fuck are you doing, dude?
Yeah. It's crazy that you were just going to go into the Bronze, get some peanuts, and sit there. A place that is just known for having vampires everywhere. Like, how do they chill? I don't know how you can just relax there.
Yeah. You've seen so many travesties there. Like...
You immediately bumped into a vampire upon walking to the table.
Like, you bumped into, you didn't even realize he was there. And you're like, oh, this is just normal. Vampire. What are you doing here?
It's like, can just you mildly annoyed. Like, can you tell me if there's other vampires, please?
But, yeah, so after this scene, we go to Buffy and Tara, and they arrive at the magic shop and they see it's all smashed up and they notice that Willow and Anya aren't there and they're like, oh. What the fuck is this about? Tara cuts. He's like, oh, Willow's not here. We got to go look for him. We got to look for what did this. And then they just like, do they grab hands and like run out together?
I don't know, but Buffy seems very chipper. Like she turned into like Captain America all of a sudden. She was like, don't worry. We're going to find Willow and save the day. It was like,
yeah.
I was like, all right.
So then we got what I believe is... just peak Buffy citizens of Sunnydale denial. Their brains are just... The troll that was summoned is just out on Main Street smashing stuff with his hammer. He smashes a gigantic dumpster and he's like, ha ha, beauty trash receptacle. And then he smashes a mailbox. He's like, ha, 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 destruction. I like destruction. And there's like 20 to 30 people just standing around seeing this happen. They're like, ah, oh, God.
Are they really?
Well, they're looking at it.
For me, it's peak when he gets to the Bronze. That is peak.
Well, that is peak, yeah.
That is peak. And
I feel like that's over the top, jumping the shark. Like, this is peak, like, oh, the people are kind of worried. they're like staying far away, and yes. then they start running away.
Yeah, yeah. At least that's like a real reaction to, a somewhat real reaction to seeing a gigantic troll who looks like a troll. Good. I like this actor too. I don't know him from a bunch of stuff, but he does a voice for Diablo. He did some voices for Diablo 4, which I know some listeners are playing. So if they can recognize that, I'm sure he's playing some type of demon-y, troll-y person in that.
But eventually the troll sees the people like running off. He's like, yes, run, run for your lives. I am here to destroy. And then he just like takes a second and he goes, ale. I smell ale. I want ale. And I was like, this is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
This is awesome, dude. This is hilarious.
It was reminding me of, I played that Shadow of Mordor game, which is like Lord of the Rings. And you're fighting orcs all the time. And they're like, you can poison their ale and stuff. And they all get like, it's a fun game. But yeah, he's just like having fun with his character. It's like he's a threat and he proves to really be a threat, but he also is fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like this is threatening, but he's a joy to watch.
Yeah. This is early season stuff of like bad guy level.
Yes. Know? This is season one type shit.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
So we go back to the Bronze, and Xander and Spike are now playing pool.
It's his go-to move. He did it with Buffy. He's like, you want me to tell you like my life story about how I became a... Let me tell you how I killed a bunch of Slayers.
So they start bonding over girl talk, and Xander's talking to Spike about like, yeah, I mean, Willow and Anya, they just like keep bickering, and you know, like it's a bummer because like Willow's my best friend, but Anya's my girlfriend, so I don't know whose side to take on some of this stuff. And you know, a lot of the time, like Willow just looks at Anya like, what the hell do you see in her? And Spike's like, I know that look. No one really got Drusilla. And Xander goes, well, she was insane.
Yeah.
But yeah, Xander's talking to him. And he's like, but I don't know who to side with. Because like, no matter who I side with, I'm wrong. Like if I side with Willow, my best friend, then Anya's pissed at me. If I side with Anya, then Willow, my best friend, is pissed at me. And then Spike's like, yeah, man, that's crazy. It's kind of like kind of similar to like what Buffy's going through, right? What's going on with Buffy? Like, is Buffy doing all right? How's she feeling about this whole Riley thing?
She holding any grudges?
And after he says this, the troll comes into the Bronze and he runs into Spike. And in my notes, it just says, just out in the open at the Bronze, bar full of people.
My notes say, troll walks in, and in bold, no one reacts.
Yes. It's not even like that it's a troll. Like, take the fact that it's a troll away. Take the fact that it looks like a troll away. If this was a human, this person is like 6'10".
Like 7'5".
Yeah.
7'5", wielding a giant anvil of a hammer.
You would notice this. You would be, at least you'd go, whoa, that's a tall fucking dude. Yeah. Like,
now layer on green and spiky and horned a little bit.
Yeah. Giant beard. screaming.
And he gets to the pool table, which is not like at the front door.
It's in the middle of the room.
He had to get past.
He had to give the bouncer his ID.
It is I, Olaf. I am 1,400 years old.
It's like, all right, we got wings in the back.
So after this, the troll walks in and there's a dude with a dolly and he's got some kegs. He's going to the back and the troll stops him and he goes, ah, yes, ale. Takes the keg, picks it up one-handed, like crushes it and just starts chugging the beer. And now everyone in the bar is watching and no one moves.
No one's leaving. No one's saying anything. They're just watching this happen as if they were like, oh, the show's starting.
Oh, this is our entertainment tonight. Last week they had
I was here this one time and this werewolf came through and it was amazing. Were you here that time when it was like a vampire and a demon lady?
Remember that girl from high school, Willow, and she like just bit that girl's neck and killed her?
I hear she's taking drama in college now.
Oh, man. So after he chugs this keg of beer, he's like, ah, yes, ale. Xander and Spike are looking at this and they're like, what the fuck is this about? And then the troll goes up to Spike. He goes, ah, I am hungry. Do you know where I can get babies? And Spike turns to Xander and goes, what do you think? The hospital?
I know. I still love it. Like, shut up. I still love that Spike is like evil because
like he nonchalant is like, what do you think? Yeah. You think you got babies at the hospital?
Like he doesn't care that this guy would go and eat babies. Like he's not a good person. He just can't hurt people. That's it.
So Xander's like, shut up, Spike. No, we don't want him to eat babies. So Xander goes up to the troll and he's like, hey, man, you don't want to eat babies. You don't want that. Like, we got a whole bunch of other food here. Yeah. And the troll is like, what? And Xander's like, oh, you got some bitchin' chicken wings, dude. Like, they're really good here. We could, like, smoke some pigs and stuff if you want that. You know, like, that'd be good. And then the troll is like, no, that will not satiate me like a baby will. Where are the babies? And then... And then the Spike and Xander are like, well, I guess we fucked that up. He's really hell-bent on getting these babies. So after they say this, the rest of the gang shows up. Willow and Anya show up, and they see the troll. And Willow's like, oh, fuck, there's the troll that we summoned. Oh, god damn it. How are we going to take him down? And then Willow goes, man, I wish Buffy was here. And then Buffy shows up. And then Willow goes, oh, shit, I wish I had $1,000,000. And everyone looks at her like, what? And Willow goes, I'm just checking. I was just checking because I...
I feel like they've done this joke in this show before.
Maybe, but I like that joke.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's a good one.
Yeah, it fits the tone. We're dealing with a troll that's chugging kegs.
Yeah.
And no one in the Bronze has moved, reacted, tried to leave.
Mm-hmm. So... Yeah. Buffy shows up and she's like, what's happening? What's the situation? At least, oh, all you guys are safe. And then they see the troll. And Anya like rats out Willow so fast. Anya's like, Willow stole a bunch of ingredients from Giles and oh, she was trying to do a spell and it released that troll. Mm-hmm. And Anya looks over at the troll and the troll looks over at Anya. And the troll's like, Anyanka? Is that you? You did this to me. And Anya is like, oh, fuck. And then they're like, what happened? And he's like, the troll is like, you did this to me. You made me this way. And then everyone looks at Anya like, what is he talking about? And Anya's like, so I actually dated that guy and he cheated on me and I did a spell and I turned him into a troll. And they're like, what? You dated this guy? And then he... chugs another keg. And then Anya's like, yeah, that's how I got the job of being a vengeance demon, actually.
Which opens up a ton of questions for me.
Let's hear them.
About why Anya doesn't remember how to do any type of witchcraft. Because they talk about it later. It's like, you turned this guy before you were a vengeance demon. In order to do that, you had to know something. You had to have some type of witch powers. I wanted to know, like, did he not reckon? Because he goes on a spiel about, like, hating witches, too, because a witch trapped him in this thing. But did he not realize when he came out that Anya and Willow were the two people he should kill immediately?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess not. I guess he was too caught up in being released and he wanted to cause a bunch of destruction.
You know, when you haven't smashed something in a while, you're going to get you want to get a little smash in. Take that however you guys want.
So Anya's like, yeah, he cheated on me. And the troll's like, I didn't cheat on you. And then the demon just blames it on the alcohol. He's like, I was wasted. And so what? I hooked up with one other person. Like, it's not that big of a deal.
It was one maiden, one wench, one maiden or something. Yeah.
And he's like pissed that he's a troll. And like, somebody, I forget who it was.
He actually doesn't hate being a troll.
Well, no, somebody was like, well, it seems like you enjoy being a troll. And he goes, I adjusted.
Yeah, great. And this is a full conversation happening in front of a bunch of people in the Bronze. They're hearing this troll talk about dating, which just looks like a human woman who is with Xander and has been in this bar before. Like, it is incredible that this is just taking place.
Yeah.
No one's fleeing.
Then he talks about how witches imprisoned him into that crystal. And Willow starts to try and she's like, I'm going to start doing a reversal spell. And people are interrupting her. And she's like, shut up, fucking trying to do this. And so she eventually tries to do it and it doesn't work. And then Buffy's like, fuck this spell bullshit. It's time to kick some ass. Buffy just goes up. She starts beating him up. And the troll is like, nah, I'm not going to take this from you, dude. And then he starts beating Buffy up. And he punches Buffy across the room. Buffy lands on Spike.
Yes.
And they both fall. And then Buffy tries to get up to get back into the fight. And Spike is like feeling her up.
Yes.
As she's trying to get up. And I was like, ew, dude, ew.
My note says Spike cops a feel on Buffy. So creepy.
Yeah.
And he has this like sly smirk on his face. Like, eh, she sat on my lap.
Yeah. It's like that thing where they're both trying to get up and they're trying to push off of each other. But Spike is like secretly trying to just like cop a feel.
Yeah. He's like holding her, like hand around the waist.
It's slimy.
It's one of those things. It's like fine if Spike is the guy that we are supposed to be like, God, this creep, but he's a funny creep and they're never going to get together.
Yeah.
But if they are, like, I don't even know if they do, but it seems like
they can't. They can't. How could this happen?
They've had so many opportunities to shift in the tracking of their relationship to the point where like, oh yeah, I can see how this will work. And every time they take one step forward, they take like five back. Like when I saw him smashing that mannequin and calling it a bitch, I was like, ooh, yeah, I don't think I don't think this is an upgrade from Riley.
She's gonna have a little monster in her man.
Just a little monster, not like all.
Yeah. Not a predator.
Hey, Parker, what are you doing? What are you up to? You're kind of horrible.
Yeah, Buffy could do a lot better.
Yeah.
But anyway, Buffy gets back up and she starts to kind of chase the troll around, who is now like taking his hammer to the foundations of the Bronze's second story.
Yeah, which I guess they have. Oh yeah, they do have, because I guess she jumped up there, but in the first season, like when they were in the
first
spotlight.
Episode,
yeah,
she's up there, and that's where she meets Giles, and he's like,
Because they look down on the dance floor. Yeah.
So he smashes the foundation of the second story, like, balcony thing, and it collapses and it lands on a bunch of people. And then there's people who were on the second story that are now, like, hanging from the rafters.
And I don't feel bad for any of them. You knew what you were getting into going to the Bronze. You signed the waiver to come in here.
Wow, talk about victim blaming here, man.
No one tried to leave. There are people on the first floor.
They were on the second floor. They didn't know that there was a troll.
No, but there's people on the first floor that get buried under it. Like, yeah. They didn't even try to, like, leave. There's a troll fighting a bunch of people.
Yeah, this is like the go to commercial break moment. Yeah. And then we come back and we see that Buffy is under her kryptonite. She's gotten, like, another bookshelf landed on top of her.
She's doing her Spider-Man, and she, like, pushes this whole stage off of herself by herself. Yeah.
So the troll has escaped, and the Scooby Gang regroups, and Buffy's barking orders at him. And Buffy's like, Willow, Anya, go to the magic box to look for a spell to take care of this demon, get him back in the crystal. They're like, right. Xander, follow the troll. Xander's like, right on. Buffy's like, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to help all these injured people. And Spike is there. And Spike is helping the injured people. Mm-hmm. And Buffy looks at him. She's like, what are you doing? And Spike's like, oh, just trying to make her feel good. You know, like, she looks uncomfortable. I'm trying to make her more comfortable. And look at all this blood here. And I haven't even taken a lick of any of these victims' blood. And Buffy goes, because I know that you wouldn't like that, Buffy. And Buffy goes, so you want credit for not feeding on disaster victims? And Spike goes, well, yeah. And Buffy goes, you're disgusting. And she just leaves. And Spike's like, what's a guy got to do?
It's amazing. Like, every time she interacts with him, she calls him creepy, disgusting, vile beneath him. Like, the turn is going to be amazing, and I just can't wait.
I can't imagine it happening. I can't.
I know, but I think it does.
I can't imagine it. I can see it being a, like, unreciprocated thing. Like, that would make sense. But I don't know what needs to happen to Buffy that makes her start, like, what needs to happen? Like, does Spike save her life? Like, that's got to be part of it. Or, like, I just can't
fathom. Like, I thought, like, in Something Blue, they were starting to, like, the cracks of, like, oh, she's
when, like, they were married or whatever.
Yeah, when they were, married. Like, when Willow's spell went wrong and they got married. And, which is kind of referenced later in this scene, like... that episode. But yeah, like, when they were together and they were, like, actually being able to, like, bond and, like, talk and hook up and make out, I thought maybe there'd be, like, something that they would see in each other from, like, the time they spent together that would, like, slowly be like, okay, you're a bad person, but you had some good in you, and I can see that, like, kind of thing. But
kind of like those lingering memories, like, mm-hmm. with Xander and the military guy stuff. Like, Buffy could still have that in her.
Yeah.
But...
You're disgusting.
Yeah. So we go to the magic box where Willow is grabbing a bunch of different books about spells. She's like, all right, I got this book about spells. I got this book.
She's going to have to go.
Fuck it. You know what? Let's grab this book too.
She should just go to London and get some books from the Watchers. Yeah. It's no way. This magic box is. They have the full library in the magic box. Like, what's going on?
Yeah. So Anya is, like, grabbing more items, and she's like, here, I grabbed some more of the stuff that you stole earlier. And Willow's like, dude, why are you being so fucking rude? And Anya's like, I'm not being rude. You stole it. Like, that's just the truth. And Willow is like, you know what? You need to learn the rules of being a human. You've been around long enough. You should understand some of this tact shit. All right. It's not cute anymore. Like, this, you got to learn these rules. And Anya's like, ah, fuck you. Like, I just, think that I'm just worried that you're going to hurt Xander. And Willow's like, you're worried that I'm going to hurt. I'm worried that you're going to hurt Xander. And Anya's like, I would never hurt Xander. And Willow goes, dude, you were a vengeance demon for 1,100 years. It's what you do. And Anya goes, I don't even have powers anymore. I can't hurt Xander. Anyway, and then Willow goes, there's other ways to hurt Xander. And then Anya goes, weren't you offered my old job as a vengeance demon? You're closer to being a vengeance demon than I am right now. You're more likely to hurt Xander. And I was like, damn, these are some good points.
I do love when Anya's like, I'm human now. Like, I am a human. Like, but she does act like a human. I was like, okay. So Anya is just a human. She's not like a weird shell demon inside a human body. But she took the form of this body. But, like, I don't think she looked like... You know, it's so weird because it's like, what is this form that she's in? Like, she's just... Yeah. You could just start making people.
Just create life, dude.
Yeah, like she...
That's what they did with Dawn.
Yeah, if Cordelia was, like... 35 or something, she would have just turned into like a coworker at her office or something and tried to get her to do something, right? Like, it wouldn't always be teenagers, but yeah.
So Anya also brings up, she's like, and don't think that I don't know what broke up Xander and Cordelia. It was you and your lips, Willow. And Willow goes, that was a long time ago, all right? And you think I'd do that again? And Anya goes, why not? And Willow goes, hello, gay now.
This is the first time they've said gay openly in this show. Yeah.
Not in a derogatory way.
Yes. In a matter of fact way. And then I'm sure people will argue whether or not, like, Willow's, like, I guess Willow's gay, but, like, what range?
I think that they just didn't have the, this is 2001, they didn't have the fluidity talk like they do now, but, so Willow also points out how, like, Anya is actually an outsider, and Anya's like, yeah, I know, and that's what makes me worry, because, like, you and Xander have this whole history and all this stuff, like, I can't infiltrate that, like, you and the Scoobs, like, that's your whole history, like, I am an outsider, kind of. So as they're having this argument, Olaf the troll shows up, and he's like, oh, there you are, you bitches. He just starts grabbing them and tossing them around.
Dude, that throw where he throws them behind the counter is amazing.
Yeah.
This story getting wrecked.
Yeah, dude. It is smashed to smithereens.
Giles is broke, man. He's out of business. There's no way you can pay to fix this place.
Yeah.
Cut to next episode. Shiny.
Yeah, everything's fine again. Xander has, like, built everything back up. And he's like, don't worry about charging me, Mr. Giles. You know, this is what I like to do. I do this for free.
Yeah.
So anyway, speaking of Xander, he shows up. And he tells a troll, get away from him. And he goes to attack the troll.
There's some lines that I wanted to mention here.
Please.
There's the troll where he says he wants to, he could be making merry with the local virgins.
Yeah.
He says that a couple times. It's merry, happy, you know, making happy, giving them the happy. Yeah. They like to use that as their sex term, I guess. And then Xander comes in and he goes, you are not touching these women.
Yeah.
Which is, like, very specific wording. And, you know, hero syndrome. Like, I mean,
he does go up and he's not afraid to try and attack this. Who was handling Buffy?
Dude, when he goes to jump and attack the troll and goes chest first into that hammer. I watched that twice. I was like, wait, what happened?
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have the best battle strategy.
It wasn't even like the troll swung it. It was like it was pointing forward. And I don't know how he didn't die immediately.
Yeah, I mean, I will give Xander props here. He's got, like, Captain America, like, I could do this all day situation. Like, he's getting smacked around and he keeps getting up and wanting more, dude. Like,
he takes a hammer to the shoulder and didn't just crumble. That thing was like smashing buildings down.
Yeah. I mean, it was, again, it was beating the shit out of Buffy, the vampire slayer who is a superhuman.
Yeah.
And Xander's just taking it like, good on him, man. So after Xander tries to do like a flying elbow drop on him, like
he starts climbing up the stairs.
Yeah.
And I was like, what are you
I mean, that was also such a long, like the trolls watching him climb the stairs and just like waiting for the attack to happen.
And then he just body slams him from that. It's like, what are you going to do?
Yeah. So he eventually picks Xander up and he's like, I like you, human. You're crazy. And you're crazy. You don't really care about yourself. So you know what? I will reward you. Only one of your women shall die. And you have to choose which one. And I was like, oh boy, here we go.
Sophie's Choice.
Yep.
I was like, this is a weird turn, a weirdly dark turn for this episode. That's been kind of fun. And I really like this troll character. Like,
yeah, Olaf rules.
I love his moral standards. His like his rules of, all right, I can still beat you, but you showed integrity.
Yeah, he's got like Viking honor.
Yeah.
But so he's like, all right, choose which one. You would think that the troll would just go after Anya.
He also hates witches. The witches, like, he doesn't.
Yeah. But Willow did free him, kind of.
Willow did free him, but he hates all witches now.
Okay.
Like how Angelus hates all of Jenny Calendar's people.
Oh, yeah. Gypsy Romanians, Romanian gypsies or whatever. Yeah. So Olaf is like, choose which one to die. And Xander's like, I choose none of them. And the troll is like, ha ha ha, that's hilarious. And then just breaks his hand.
Broke the wrist. And I was like, oh God.
You hear Xander like squeal in pain. He's like, yeah.
I was like, oh man, dude.
And then he goes, ha ha ha, that's hilarious. Breaks his hand. He goes, all right, now choose for real though. Yeah. For real this time. And Xander refuses again.
Hero.
And I was like, dude, what a dude. Huh?
Yeah. Like.
And then Olaf goes, then you shall be the one who dies. Mm-hmm. And Xander's like, all right, fine. And then Anya's like, no, don't kill Xander. Take me. I'll go instead of Xander. And then Willow tries to do a spell.
Willow did not sacrifice. She did not throw herself into the sacrifice.
No.
She's like, Willow's I'm like, good.
I got some good pussy to munch on. I am.
Oh, God.
I got too much to live for. So Willow attempts to do a spell again, and it just makes the cash register disappear again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, dude, what the fuck?
Float a pencil in his eye or something. Yeah, you can at least do that.
Make him float. Do something to throw him off.
You're in a magic shop.
Yeah. So after that fails, Buffy shows up. And Buffy's there, and she's there to fight him again. And they're duking it out. And Willow's like, Anya, you need to distract the demon and piss him off, all right? And Anya's like, I don't know if I can do that. And Willow's like, Anya, there is no one that you can't piss off. And Anya's like, thanks.
Yeah.
So Anya starts to just like insult this troll, and she's like, you were never a good lover, and you were like, you're a troll now, and you're gross, and I don't know which was more disgusting, you as a human or as a troll. I don't remember exactly all the insults that she's hurling at this troll, but Willow starts to do the spell, and the troll's beating up Buffy, but eventually Anya starts aggravating this troll like super hard, and then it goes to attack Anya. And they determine that all of this troll's power is in its hammer.
Yeah, Anya says his power is in his hammer. Yeah. Is he choking Buffy already at this point? Because at one point he's holding her up and her legs are just kicking.
Yeah. I'm not quite sure when that happens exactly, but Willow does a spell to get the hammer out of the troll's hand, and they're like, yes, we're turning the tide. Here we go. And then the troll just smashes Buffy with his fist. And they're like, what happened? I thought all of his power was in his hammer. And then Anya's like, oh, well, I mean, he still has troll power.
Yeah, Buffy just runs over and he just backhand. Because it was like, oh, yeah, she's just going to beat him up because he's weak now. And I was like,
yeah,
I was thinking about the hammer thing. And I was like, how is his power just in his hammer?
Yeah.
And when he backhands Buffy, she goes flying. It's so funny.
So they continue to fight Buffy and the troll. And then the troll eventually asks Buffy, like, why are you fighting for these people? And
well, the troll trolls Buffy.
Yeah. Why are you fighting for these people? Like, why are you fighting for Anya and Xander specifically? Look at these two. Their relationship will never last. Look, Anya, she sucks. She's a bad person. She's a vengeance demon. And this guy, Xander, he's crazy and he's too breakable. And then this triggers Buffy into superhuman love rage strength.
Yeah.
And Buffy just starts beating the fuck out of this demon off screen.
They cut to one shot where it's obviously a stunt person, and the stunt person is way skinnier than the troll. And then off screen, we get like sound effects of her beating someone up. And I was like, this sucks.
Yeah, we get Buffy beating up the troll off screen, all while screaming, their love is a love that will last forever. Which I thought was pretty funny.
Yeah.
And Anya and Willow are looking at her like, oh shit, Buffy's losing it. Oh shit, we gotta, let's start learning these spells again.
Yeah.
So Buffy eventually knocks the troll out with all of her love rage.
Yeah, it was just like, they just cut to a shot of it like lying on its back on the floor real close.
Yeah, I thought that it was dead.
I did too. I was like, what's going on?
Yeah, I thought it was dead, but apparently not, because Willow does a spell that sends the troll to the land of trolls, where the troll will hopefully feel at home. And then they're like, how did you know how to send it to the land of trolls? And Willow's like,
because you couldn't do anything else before.
Yeah.
You can do that, but you can't turn someone from a rat to a person. Well,
Willow actually can't do this because someone's like, how do you know that it landed there? And Willow's like, I actually don't really know where the spell sent him. So it could be there. It could be at another place. And Anya's like, yeah, it could be in the world where there's no shrimp. And I was like, whoa, what a reference.
What a callback. It's so many references in this.
Yeah. And Tara's like, there's a world without shrimp. And Anya's like, yeah, I guess there could be. And Tara's like, oh, that'd be awesome. I'm allergic to shrimp.
So,
okay.
They talk about how it's impossible to send somebody accurately. It's like trying to hit a bee with a dart or something.
Trying to chase a dog and hit it with a live bee.
Yeah.
Throat. Something like that.
So I'm like, so you don't know if you just sent this person to like this troll to like another. Wouldn't you just kill the troll instead of sending it to what could possibly be like a land of like normal people?
Yeah, like why do you all of a sudden have? Yeah, why do you have a heart about this? Like, just kill the troll.
Yeah. And then, I mean, it'd be amazing if he came back. I don't see him coming back, but it'd be amazing if he came back for some random reason. Because fun character. But they've done multiverse stuff before with Vamp Willow. And they managed to send her back exactly to where she came from.
Yeah.
They
sent her right back to the moment before she dies in her world. So they're like, oh, man, that's crazy that you just sent this troll wherever. And Buffy's like, well, whatever, we're done with that. And plus, I got this cool new hammer as a souvenir. Places it on the glass countertop and it just smashes through the display case.
Yep.
And they look around the magic box and it is just wrecked. Mm-hmm. It is smashed to fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And Buffy is like, well, I'm just happy that things worked out between you, Xander, and Anya. And then Buffy just starts crying because she misses Riley.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like funny.
Yes. All of the crying in this is played more for laughs than for like emotional heaviness, which I like that they kind of did, because we have had like heavy crying for like Riley relationship, mom, brain tumor. Now we get to be like, hey, she's got the waterworks going. Let's see if we can do it without like the emotion behind it, you know, like fully. Yeah. We don't, it's like we can lighten things up. You know, people just got back from Christmas break, from the holidays, you know?
Yeah, this is a nice detour from the main glory, Dawn being the key story.
They bookend it with it, so it's still it's still a thread, but yeah.
Speaking of which, we go to the Summers household and Giles is there, and Giles just has a migraine headache because of how trashed the magic box is. He's sitting there, he's got his hand on his head like, oh my God, I shouldn't have even left for a day. I should have never left. Like, this is atrocious.
Yeah.
I knew I should have only left for a weekend.
And Joyce is in this scene. She should have been like, hey, I've had my house fixed up. I got a guy.
Yeah. But they're like, well, at least, like, you know, you went to the Watchers. Did you get any information from the Watchers? And Giles is like, nope. They have no record of Glory. They have no record of anyone like her. But they're going to look into it. But
Joyce asked my favorite question here. And I forgot that she was even in this last scene. I know I mentioned like she's come out of her room. Now she's downstairs. Giles only went to London for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
They're in California. It's a hell of a trip from the East Coast to London. Mm-hmm. But when you add in that, we're talking like 12-hour round trip, right?
Yeah.
So
it's probably been only been there for like 6 hours and they had to get back on another plane.
Like, so, yeah, it was like, Joyce asked, why did they make you go all the way to London if they didn't know anything? And, like, there's a different way to get them out of town for this to happen, right? Like,
yeah, I don't know.
It just seems so weird that we have him go to London. We talk about the Watchers. We have to bring the Watchers in. We're like 2 seasons away from Buffy quitting the Watchers and not getting any follow-up from that.
Yeah.
Like, why would they even come after Key? They didn't even come after you, Buffy. Like, I don't know. I just don't. Why was this not a phone call? Why couldn't he just be like, hey, have you guys heard about this? I'm surprised they were even talking to him because I thought he was excommunicado.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seemed so. In this scene, I literally thought that Giles was Glory and Glory was like in some type of like, she was like just disguised as Giles.
She's able to like shapeshift or something.
I was like, it's no way Giles went to London for 3 days and came back with zero information. It's like, no way. I was like, this is Glory, and I hope they play the pronoun game so she doesn't know where the key is, but she's trying a different tactic. That was 100% my thought right here. But it's not. I guess it's just Giles.
Yeah. So they also talk about like, you know, did you tell him about the key too? And Giles like, yeah, they're looking into the key stuff too. And then he looks over at Joyce and he's like, so you know the truth about this too? And Buffy's like, yeah, she kind of figured it out somehow. Mother's instinct, I guess. And so after they talk about, you know, they're like, yeah, they don't know anything about Dawn being the key, but they know that there is a key. And we pan over from this conversation to the stairwell, where we have Dawn overhearing this conversation about, like, we really need to protect Dawn. She is the key, and she is, like, really important, and I don't know how we're going to protect her, and, like, they're going to come after Dawn and all this shit. And that is how the episode ends, with a close-up of Dawn's face being all worried.
Yeah, it's weird because they're not saying anything that damaging that she should be worried about. Like, what Dawn hears isn't as, like, threatening as you put it, I don't think. Like, they don't really, they don't say anything about, like, she's in danger. They're like, she's the key and it's something we need to worry. Like, they're having, like, that sit around. It's like if you walked in on your parents talking about, like, what school they were going to send you to or something. Like, it's not like they're saying anything that she would even understand. Like, the words they're saying wouldn't even make sense to her. She would just know something's up and she's something, but it wouldn't be like, wait, I'm not a real person. It's not that level of like, I'm mixed up in some like supernatural stuff.
I also got to say, I feel like this is out of character for Dawn to not just barge in and be like, what? Because Dawn just barges into everything. She barges into Buffy's room. She barges into things that what people are talking about it.
Yeah, they could have like, gone full Spider-Man and she walks in and she's like, wait, I'm a key? And then it ends like that. Like, and then they all just have to fill her in
on key. It. The key to what?
Yeah.
Credits.
Yeah.
Created by Joss Whedon.
But yeah, now she knows, and then we can spread out for the next 10 episodes her like revealing that she knows that she's something.
She's gonna do that thing. Buffy's gonna be on a phone call with somebody and she's gonna pick up the other line and listen in.
Or she's just gonna be in school and be like, I'm important, I'm the key. I'm important, I'm the key. Stop telling people you're the key. Yeah.
So that is Triangle. You got any final thoughts about Triangle, Vance?
I predicted there was going to be some type of triangle with, I think I predicted with Anya and Xander.
I predicted that Riley was going to be back already and it was going to be Spike, and that was way off.
You're trying to win your next episode predictions. You're like, people are coming back. You think they're coming or not? You said you'll never see them again. I think
my prediction was way off.
Yeah, I was not expecting the ex. I thought it might be a boyfriend, demon boyfriend thing, but I wasn't expecting the Willow, Xander, Anya triangle there, which I thought was nice. And hopefully they get on the same level, and maybe Tara and Buffy will have another scene together in a couple episodes.
Speaking of predictions, next episode is titled Checkpoint.
Huh. Wow, that's
in
a tough
video
one.
Games, checkpoints are where you save, and that is you return back to that place when you shut the game off.
Oh, so you thinking we're gonna have something where they have to keep doing a do-over?
Oh yeah. Maybe get trapped in a video game.
I wouldn't say trapped in a video game, but like kind of like a Happy Death Day situation.
That'd be cool.
Groundhog's Day situation.
Did we already have a Groundhog's Day type episode in this?
I don't think she's had to do the same thing over and over again yet.
Huh. Yeah, that would be a cool episode.
I mean, they mentioned multiverses, so we're getting there. They brought that up. Yeah, I'll go with that. Why not?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Sure.
All right. Easy enough. All right, well.
Like, that'll be right. And people are like, how do they do it? It's like, no, we're idiots. We don't know what we're talking.
Well, that is a wrap for Triangle, everybody. Thanks for listening. Really appreciate it. Join the Discord and sound off on what you think about this episode. Join our Patreon, patreon.com/boyswatchingBuffy, where we're doing Angel and movies and Joe's Fashion Report. Amazon wishlist and Throne and shit, we got that. Join or follow the Instagram at boyswatchingbuffy@gmail.com. If you want to get a shout out, you got to do a 5-star Apple rate and review or a 5-star Spotify rating. Screenshot it, send it to my DMs at Joe Welke. I won't give you a shout out at the top of the next episode. And yeah, that is a wrap. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned next week for when we talk about Checkpoint.
What are you doing?
Making this woman more comfortable. I'm not sampling, I'll have you know. I mean, look at all these lovely blood-covered people.
I could, but not a taste for Spike, not a lick. I knew you wouldn't like it.
You want credit for not feeding off bleeding disaster victims?
Well, yeah.
You're disgusting.
What's it take?